To sync this podcast to the episode, pause now and hit play right after the previously on.
Hello, everyone. It's Meryl Davis, and I'm here with the wildly talented writer and executive producer, Tony Graffia. I'm so excited to be joining. This is my first podcast of season four.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
And we are here for episode four, titled Common Ground, written by Joy Blake.
We have a special guest here with us, but we'll tell you.
Yes.
We'll tell you about our special guest
later in the episode. Common Ground also is the title we can talk about a little later in the episode as well. Once we get there, it's, well, you've already seen it, actually. So people have already seen this. So we could talk about our special guest.
We have to remind each other. Every time we do a podcast, we have to remember that the people have already seen it.
Well, it's drilled into us by publicity and ourselves. Right. Obviously, we're spoiler police, so we kind of forget. Our special guest today is the world's most fabulous dog, Carrot the Frenchie, who is sitting here on the couch with us.
Welcome, Carrot. It's her first podcast.
Yes, well, she has not a very special part in this episode.
Yes.
A very special guest star.
She is a special guest star.
Do you want to also talk about what we're drinking?
We're drinking Spirit Bear Gin because Meryl's a gin girl. So we're foregoing whiskey this week, but I think you'll probably get the significance of the of our drink today based on what's the other star of the episode, the other animal star that we have with us
exactly
today.
Spirit Bear.
We started the episode with something that's not in the book, with Jamie signing the deed to the land that he's getting. We thought it'd be cool to show their trip to Wilmington to sign this deal, because we made such a big, you know, thing about it being a deal with the devil that it was just nice to see Jamie sign on the dotted line.
Also, anytime I think we can see Jamie and Tryon together is amazing. I mean, Tim Downey has been such a great addition to the cast this year. And is having so much fun. And I think he and Sam had known each other previously. So we always kind of talked about bringing Tim on, but didn't really have a role for him. And he's so perfect.
Oh, he's a perfect Tryon. He has a governor-like quality to him. And I like the dance that happens between these two. Because they both know this is a loaded deal here. And that there's expectations on Jamie. So it's truly a deal with the devil.
Yeah, it really is setting up the rest of the season, this whole idea of, knowingly, as you said, making a deal that will put them on the wrong side of history. And something we've talked about in previous seasons, certainly we had the whole Culloden thing in the first couple seasons, and now in the new world, it's this new challenge.
Yeah, I like how Jamie... when Jamie does a little call back here, I believe, where he says, there's the law and there's what is done, which lets the governor know, like, hey, I'm on board, with this sort of, handshake deal that is, I will help you defend against the, uprising of the regulators should it come to that.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean, we've talked a lot, certainly with Sam and in the writer's room, about the fact that it's, a unique situation Jamie finds himself in, that obviously he was in the position of the Native Americans when he was in Scotland. And he was certainly on the other side of that. And now he is on the other side in this new world. And how will he deal with it? And how can he relate? And what do you do in this type of situation?
Right. And Tryon here is even comparing the Highlanders to the Indians. And Jamie is, artfully deflecting by saying, they're savage in everyone.
Exactly.
And he doesn't have any, it's about, again, echoing the theme of Common Ground, which is the title of this episode. And what we wanted to explore was, being neighbors with someone, having a common ground, and having to find that common ground to live peacefully together.
In fact, most people do know this, but obviously there were so many Scottish settlers in North Carolina
Yeah.
At this time.
Oh, I love this scene.
Well, obviously we made that major change in the beginning of season where we brought Marsley with us.
Right.
You know, in the books, obviously, she stays in Jamaica, and we don't get to see her first pregnancy. And it was kind of fun. We don't get to see them often, but it was kind of fun to see Marsley and Fergus in the beginning.
Yeah, and I we love Marsley. Yeah. And I just love here that she is missing her yeah. mom. And as you would if you were having a baby, I think that's a time that yeah. you think of your own parent, and she was close with her mom. And it's hard to express that to Claire, because Claire does not share her love of Leary, obviously. But I think it's really cool here that she feels she misses her so much. She just has to express yeah. that to someone. And she says it to Claire, and gets choked up. And, you know, Claire is like, look, I'm no Leary fan, but I totally get it, because Claire's missing her own daughter yeah. here, and missing Brianna, and realizes Bree's about the same age as Marsley, and yeah. Claire's not there for her. Yeah. So I think it brings up a lot of feelings in Claire, and I think it's really neat, the relationship these two have.
It's nice to know somebody loves Leary. Poor Leary. Oh, it is kind of fun to imagine. And something we actually have talked about, just kind of in jest, but kind of seriously, is bringing Leary over, which would have been fun initially for this episode. What would have happened if, obviously going completely against the books, but if Leary had showed up?
Oh, I think we'd get a little bit of mail about that one. A little bit of...
I know, but I'd like to see yeah, the combo of Leary and Marsley and...
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's a little like her mom.
Oh, but she's fiery. Yeah,
she's fiery.
Fiery without all the cray-cray.
Yeah, of we Leary. Like our cray-cray characters here.
But this is obviously, this tavern is a set we use quite a bit that Gary Steele and his fabulous team repurpose from time to time. You'll see pop up in various episodes throughout this season. We love a good tavern.
Yeah. And we need a lot of taverns because, well, people drank a lot in that time.
You know, and another thing we talk about quite a bit in the writer's room this season is trying to keep the idea of Brianna alive. And something we've talked a lot to Katrina about, it's, you know, she left her daughter, but obviously she never really leaves her. And wanting to see conversations with her and Jamie talking about Brianna and missing her, but also keeping that alive, because even though we see Brianna in some of these episodes, you'd imagine that Jamie and Claire would talk about her quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was always our plan, even from last season, when, you know, as soon as Claire came back and told Jamie about their daughter that he didn't even know, you know, yeah. that she'd had, and, you know, was it a boy or a girl, and, you know, that we would keep it alive by having Jamie, as he would, you know, as naturally he would, ask questions and bring it up, and every chance he got, be like, tell me about her, tell me a little more, tell me, you know, what was she like, what was her life like, you know, in the future, and just, you know, wanting to feel that connection with the daughter that he didn't ever get to know.
I will have to say also, just adding here an insignificant note, but the streets of Wilmington, once again, we love our mud, and stupidly shipped in a little mud at the beginning here, and realized fairly quickly with all the rain and stuff that we did not need it. Tony, how do you think you'd do setting up a new cabin somewhere in the woods? You handy?
I would do pretty good. I think I'd. Really? I really love the outdoors, and I'm.
Are you handy?
Well, I might sit and have a glass of wine, and, you know, while I watched everybody work. No, I'm kidding. I think it's cool.
I'm just going to interrupt you one second. These views that we're seeing now. Of North Carolina are shots we took of North Carolina that we've adjusted, and those specific shots, those POV shots, are not from Scotland. So we add those in and took shots specifically from North Carolina in our attempt, as always, to blend working in Scotland, but also, you know, obviously bringing in a little North Carolina.
Right, right.
And this was also something they did historically, you know, obviously marking off your land. And a lot of times they had witness trees or some sort of identifying mark.
Right. Yeah, we did some research here. And we found, I didn't even know this actually, that the song that Claire's referring to was actually taken from the British song "God Save Great George Our King." I didn't even know that. You know, the idea was just at first to have Claire sort of sing this because she's a little enamored of being one of the early American settlers of America before it was even America. And then we realized, oh, that's actually a British, taken from a British song. And I thought it was funny that you know, Jamie's like, "You stole that? You stole that from England?" He's pretty impressed with that.
And I think we ultimately decided not to have her sing it because we've made Katrina sing so many songs over the years. But although she has a fabulous voice.
I know, she's always like, "I'm not a singer," but like she did such a great job on The Bugle Boy that we're like looking for other opportunities to have her sing.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, these were two really, really cool trees that they found. I just thought there was something cool and pioneering.
And also true that that's what they did use, that they use some of these.
And they would carve their initials to show the boundaries of the land.
Not the most accurate way, probably, but...
I want to see him carve JF plus...
Oh,
CF. CB. It'd be Claire Beauchamp.
Oh, right.
Or CR, Claire Randall, before she became Fraser.
Yeah, but why would he, wouldn't he at this point do JF?
Once you're already married, I don't know about, it's more of like a teenage love thing to do. So I was thinking, oh, it'd be like they're early.
Yeah. It is funny, you don't think about this when you're in Scotland or anything, but that they don't have, until we were in the room and talking about it, and obviously in reading the books, that they don't have the same wildlife that we are, the same animal predators that we have.
No, they don't. They don't. And I love this. I love how the Indians just appear. It's very... surreal that they approach silently and just see them.
And obviously our first intro to a Cherokee tribe, and just shout out here to Terry and Nina and the whole costume department. Yeah. Such an amazing job.
Great job and with the costumes here.
They're, you know, the detail, and also, you know, a lot of people will know that in the books, this is the Tuscarora tribe. We, doing our research, realized there wasn't a lot of information on that particular tribe. And in talking to, you know, when we talked to Terry and Nina and everyone else involved, it was very hard to find information. And so we made the decision, along with some other factors, to change it to Cherokee, where there was more information and we'd have a better chance of getting things right.
Yeah, we're very, you know, very... dedicated to historical accuracy, and we just thought if we used a tribe where there was a plethora of information about, that we'd have a better chance of an accurate depiction. We wanted to be really responsible and do justice to our portrayal of the Native Americans. And I know Terry did a ton of research about the dress and the costumes they wore, and well, they weren't costumes to, I mean, the clothes that they wore, and then let the costumes reflect. And as always, she uses the authentic fabric and colors and everything. And everything is stitched by hand and just made in the most authentic way possible.
I mean, the only thing we struggled about in making the change, honestly, which isn't a big deal, but obviously we're so used to, there are certain names in the book that we like to keep. I mean, way back in season one when we were told Rupert actually wasn't a Scottish name. We're encouraged to change it, and we kept it because it was in the book. Same thing here. It's hard when you have certain names you're used to, Tesquire, and having to change those as well.
Right.
And seeing Roger in the office, we don't actually get to see this him sharing an office in the books.
No, I don't believe we see him at Oxford, and we invented this office mate for him because we needed
someone to talk to.
Someone to talk to after this, after what happened at the Scottish Festival last week, that they've sort of parted ways, and they're kind of like, well, they're broken up, and we wanted to see someone notice that Roger, how unhappy he's been and lonely he's been without Brianna. And of course, this is the book that she gave him at the Scottish Festival, and he's missing her, and he pulls out the book and starts.
Actually, a fun little tidbit here that this book author we named Karen Bailey because Karen Bailey is one of our STARS execs who's from North Carolina, so a little ode to her. We made the author of this book, Karen.
Little shout out for Karen, who has been a champion of the show since the very beginning.
We also changed this up somewhat. Obviously, it was a struggle when we decided. I can't talk forward. Never mind. I was about to give a spoiler. Never mind, people. Never mind.
And didn't he really chop down this tree, I believe?
He did chop down the last part of it.
Yeah.
It was pre-chopped. I'm not going to lie. But it's not because Sam couldn't have done it himself. He absolutely is more than able to do that. It's more a safety concern.
Yeah.
You know, you obviously don't want your actors in a place where a tree can smash them.
No.
But this was a lot of fun doing these kind of, production hates these kind of montage shots because they take, you know, a half a page to write, but it takes like 2 days to film these. But, we kind of wanted to add something in to show that, you know, we couldn't show the entire evolution of building a cabin, but certainly wanted to show the beginnings. And that's not Karen Bailey, by the way, on the cover. On the back cover.
No, that's not her real picture, just her name. And Danny Barrow, right, whenever we need, like, she came up with the title of the book and the writing, you know, the blurbs that are on the back of the book. Home from Home.
Oh, nice. Danny's Scottish one of our assistants in Scotland. Dr. Danny Barrow.
A history PhD, I believe, and helps us out a lot with some of our historical authenticity.
We love this kind of idea of Claire and Jamie kind of deciding how their house would be. It's amazing what Sam and or Jamie and young Ian could put up in a short amount of time. They're wizards, thanks to the art department.
I mean, they're literally building a home from nothing out in the middle of nowhere.
But that's what's crazy. I mean, we take it for granted now, but certainly so many people did that. And
yeah, it's so funny. We were just before the podcast talking about camping and who here in our office likes to camp. And some of us can't even imagine camping in today's world, how you know, roughing it in the woods. And here are people that built their whole lives in the woods. And this is their real deal camping, and how hard that would be. But it's very romantic, you know, and it's something that, you know, when you're working together as a couple, that's what bonds them is, you know, these aren't people that go to their jobs and don't see each other all day long and, you know, don't make it home in time for dinner. These are people that work and do everything together. And, you know, that's part of what keeps their love so special.
You talk about what a great job Rollo did in that shot.
Rollo's like, I'm getting out of here. No. You know, another reason that we chose to change the Tuscarora to Cherokee here is because we couldn't find, I don't think we could find anything actually on the Tuscarora language. It's just very hard to find people who still speak some of these native languages. And with Cherokee, there is a community and people who speak it. And we were, because we really wanted to use the authentic language, and we did have Cherokee advisors who could translate the dialogue for us, whereas we just didn't have those kind of resources on the Tuscarora.
I was about to talk about the reasons why we've kind of changed up this story, but we can come back to it now that we're back in the Roger. And the whole reason for the difference. In the book, obviously, you know, Jamie first meets Tuscor after tussling with the bear, which we'll get to. But obviously, we had to come up with another way they first interact. And it was more to try to show also that, like the Scottish people and being pushed off their land, that the Native Americans also felt the same thing here.
Yeah. So Roger's done his research and found, you know, he hasn't spoken to Brianna in a really long time, and this is his entree to call her to.
Wait a second, big moment, Carrot the Frenchie, people.
Carrot the Frenchie. Carrot.
Her debut. Yes, you.
Yay.
And also we, you know.
She barked. Oh, I love that. I hope you guys
and,
heard that.
Simona Brown plays Gale, and we had so much fun casting her. And we did do a slightly different take on Gale in the books. In the books, obviously, Gale is kind of a little more boy crazy, maybe, than our Gale. You know, we decided to go in a slightly different direction, and she was delightful. It'd be great to bring her back at some time.
Yeah.
But God knows we'll see Gale again, unless Gale is a time traveler.
You never know. It's Outlander. Oh, this is nice because, you know, you can tell these two miss each other, but it's awkward to talk after what happened at the festival, and she turned down his proposal. But he, you know, Roger's that dog with a bone, so when he saw the mention of Fraser in North Carolina, he wanted to sort of give her this gift of, he knew that she always wondered if her mom made it back, yep. Which, you know, they have no way of knowing, and whether her mom's happy, because she gave up her mom to send, you know, to send him her back to Jamie, and to not even know if it worked. And this is a huge gift to know that it worked and her mom went back and is with the love of her life. And
but just to point out also a small just fun fact, this Brianna, we didn't obviously film these two scenes at the same time. Obviously phone calls are never our favorite thing to do because you want the actors to be face to face. But the Brianna side of the scene we shot on our last day before Christmas break. And actually Richard Rankin was here on the other side of the camera feeding Sophie her lines, which every lovely actor will do. Sadly, there's some actors who won't, and you have to use an AD, but he came out because it is a very emotional scene, and you know, for Sophie, it's nice to have the real actor there. You don't want one of us feeding her lines.
Absolutely.
But they both do such a great job, especially since, once again, no one likes doing phone acting.
No. Look at those old telephones. Nobody even has those anymore.
I know. I miss those.
I know. I kind of like the twirly, you know, cords there.
But we actually shot this, interestingly enough, we built this Brianna and Gale's apartment on this kind of soundstage or warehouse stage in the same place we filmed the Kaylee and the where we filmed Roger singing his...
The Kaylee dance in the last episode, yeah. And Roger when he sang False Bride.
Which I love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This was also a big thing we talked about in the writer's room. It's like, where to take from here? I mean, in the book, the Roger Brianna courtship and kind of lead up here is slightly different. And we kind of had to alter some things. Dog acting. But this is what we talked about before. It's like, what do you do if you're you've been pushed out of your own land, you know, in Scotland, and you've come to a place where you're now doing the same thing to someone else.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also, you know, how to communicate to other people when you don't speak the same language that you can all share, i.e. the term common ground, and whether figuring out if we can all share this land.
I think we're about to have an appearance by a furry certain something.
Do we want to talk about the, why the bear? You know, we had so many discussions in the writer's room because obviously the importance of the bear scene is Jamie's introduction to the Cherokees or the Tuscarora in the book.
Yeah, and not just his introduction, but the way that
and how they perceive him.
He ingratiates himself to them and is able to make inroads by doing something helpful to them. So that was the concept of Jamie killing the bear in the book, is just to make an inroad with his new neighbors and a bridge to get along with them.
Exactly. And we talk so much about, you know, could we do a real bear? You know, the problems we faced are, one, there are no bears. There are no black bears in Scotland. Actually, I don't know if there are bears, period. And obviously, once again, kind of like we were talking about the tree, the last thing you ever want to do is put your actor in a scene with a wild animal, even if it's trained. Obviously, it's done. But and three, you know, obviously, we've all seen The Revenant, or most of us have, where it has a pretty fantastic visual effects, CG bear fight, and that...
You can't say bear fight in today's world without immediately thinking about The Revenant and how cool it was.
And we knew we couldn't pull that. I mean, one, we didn't want to try to compete with that, but also, well, honestly, I'm not sure we could have afforded that kind of...
I think they spent like 2 weeks, you know, shooting a bear and had special effects and all kinds of, you know, resources that we don't have.
Yeah. But also, we realized in a future book that there was... a similar bear man, to put in quotes, story that we felt like we could use in this episode and try to still get that, but...
We didn't want to sacrifice the bear because we knew that a lot of the audiences, you know, we've seen that people were excited about it and, oh, for the, you know, when you think of this book, that's one of the highlights of it, and people were like, oh, you're going to do the bear fight. So we essentially borrowed elements of a future book to say, well, how can we do this? And we talked a lot. This was one of the more challenging stories in the room to figure out how to do justice to this story. And
Also, another thing we talked about that is kind of a silly part in the book, but a lot of people talked about whether or not we could do the... Jamie or Claire slapping Jamie in the face with a fish. And it's one of those things that when you read in the book, it totally works and it's fun. But when you actually start talking about it in doing that in on screen with your actors, it becomes slightly silly. And we really, in this iteration, couldn't figure out a way to make this work without it looking really silly. But I know some people probably miss that. So we're sorry.
Well... the interesting thing is we started getting excited about it when, you know, when the, you know, idea surfaced of, you know, we kept joking and going, can we do a man in a bear suit? Can we just do a man in a bear suit so it doesn't have to be special effects and it could just be this guy, you know? And off of that, it was like, well, what if it actually is a man in a bear suit? And we did some research online and found... some really super cool pictures of Native Americans where they wore bear skins, and they would even take the head of a bear and wear it like a hat, or sometimes over their whole face to where it actually looked like a bear. You know, it looks remarkably like a bear. And then we thought, well, maybe we can, but how can we explain this? And then more research indicating that, of course, you know, Indians often had like, you know, the spirits, different animal spirits. Some were good, some were not so good, were more disturbing and frightening. And so we just sort of latched onto that and did a story about, you know, a Native American who had been, you know, someone that kind of goes crazy and what could make them go crazy. And we came up with the fact that he was banished from the tribe, which often made them go crazy because the Indians would just make them invisible. Literally, if they did a crime, that was a punishment to not be seen, to just ignore them. And so they would send them off into the woods, and the person would come back over and over and try to be part of the tribe, and the tribe would just ignore them, like, you're dead to us. And that was a very nonviolent way of affecting a punishment, and it often could make the person go crazy because they had to live alone without their community. And this episode, the theme is community and how to live and get along with your neighbors, and it hinges on this story about a person who was shunned from the community and how they went crazy because they couldn't be part of a group, and which was so important when you live in the wilderness.
Do you have a spirit animal, Tony?
I would say probably horses. I grew up with horses, and I really love horses and always connected with them.
Speaking of horses, I just want to point out that no animals were harmed in the filming of this. We saw a horse come through, and that is all paint. So Dunbar, fantastic makeup department in conjunction with our horse trainers. But no horses were.
And here's our Kyle Reese, John Quincy Myers, who we all just love, and he just adds a lot of charisma to any episode he's in. He's just this cool mountain guy.
That's probably what the casting slide said. Cool mountain guy. Boy, if this is how I would have to make all my food, I'd starve.
I was just thinking, I'm getting hungry watching this.
jerky. So let's talk about this scene. I was here when we filmed this scene, and let me just tell you, I know we talk about the weather, and everyone gets so tired of talking about the weather, but it was freaking freezing this day, and I have to say, Katrina was a trooper, because there's nothing worse than being cold and then having to put your hands in that wet gunk. She obviously did a little bit of training beforehand, to learn how to gut a fish. But, you know, to have to do this like 4 or 5 times, 6, 7, 8 times.
I mean, look at her breathing.
It was absolutely freezing. I mean, thankfully it wasn't snowing or anything, but, I was probably in my full Michelin woolly suit.
I remember she told me how cold her hand was to have to put her hand inside that fish and scoop out.
I know, afterwards we were like, could we not have thought of something else for Claire to do?
Yeah, well, this is the scene where Jamie's supposed to appear and she's going to whack him in the head with the fish, as you mentioned earlier. And part of the reason why we couldn't do it, it wasn't only so much that it might look silly, but the fact that the way the set is built kind of in the middle of these really thin little trees, there really wasn't anywhere for Jamie to appear where she wouldn't see him coming.
Yeah.
Like, the reason in the book she whacks him is because he appears and scares her, but they would have seen him coming from a long ways off. It's not like he could sneak up behind that little hut and, you know, startle her.
Yeah.
So we really tried. In fact, it was in the script, just so I know you apologize to the people that it's not in there, and I do too, but I wanted them to know that it was in the first version of the script, and then we got calls saying there's just nowhere for Jamie to walk up and startle her, so we couldn't do the fish bit, and we really, because we loved it. So,
but once again, it just shows you some things do, but yeah. It also, once again, we couldn't figure out a way to do it that didn't also come off as a little silly.
Yeah.
You know, but I love this scene also, just showing Claire's proficiency with...
Yeah. She was taught to shoot, and I'm sure as part of her military training, and she's practicing because there's bears in them there woods. we like that, you know, she already knows how to shoot.
Well, Jamie's not teaching her, but he just happens to be a little better.
Yeah. He doesn't have
he
to,
does
like,
it a little more often.
Know, he doesn't have to give her shooting lessons.
Yeah. And we've talked about this several times before. Actually, maybe we haven't, certainly the podcast we haven't, but, you know, obviously it was important to us. We weren't able to bring Native Americans from America due to union issues, but cast our supporting artists and our background artists all out of Canada. And it was very important to us to cast First Nations actors. And but logistically, that was also very difficult because when you're bringing people from another country, you know, with visas and everything else, it was very difficult. And we had to try to condense our shooting to bring the most people over at the same amount of time and try to do all our scenes at the right. same time. Just because you can't bring someone over and leave, you know, for 7 months or whatever. You know, people have lives. And, you know, this is a scene where we see Myers, and I will admit, in a very, very early iteration of a script, we killed Myers off.
Shocker.
We did. Well, we wanted to really show the danger of the bear, and we wanted something very tragic. But then we just really, really loved this actor, yeah. and we thought, oh, God, you know, really don't want to lose him because also perhaps he may appear again sometime. Exactly. And it was really to the actor's credit that we changed our minds and we went, you know what, let's have Claire save him so he can live to see another day and fight another bear. And, you know, off of our research too, you know, we try to get the words and the Skiliona, it meant evil bear, I believe is what it translates to. And we did some research to show, and our Cherokee advisors helped us. What we wanted was to juxtapose Jamie hunting what he thinks is the real bear, with the Indians who were doing their own version of trying to banish this bear, like praying to the spirits about and what they would do, how they would use the pipe and the music, their drums, and their have this ceremony to banish the spirit of the bear, and how they called it evil bear, but to them, you know, it's a mixture of a ghost bear and a real man, because I think there's a line later where they say, is it a bear or a monster? Sometimes man can be monster. But this is to let us know that this bear had become a problem to them, and they're trying to do something about it in their way.
You know, this coming up also took a long time to shoot. Anytime you have kind of a fight scene, it's difficult. I mean, I know, you know, Sam kind of excels in these, and I know he loves them, but it just, you know, to protect the actor, both actors, and to do something really believable takes enormous amount of time and effort, because also to shoot these kind of things and catch all the angles, especially if you're doing it at night, is always a little complicated, but certainly something I think the actors enjoy. And
he looks pretty good in firelight.
Jamie always looks good.
He always looks good, but I like...
And actually, the gentleman who plays the Skiliona, Flint Eagle, was such a lovely gentleman. He came in at the end of shooting and had such a good time and brought our front office some treats before he left, and... was just a real pleasure. But this was another thing we debated a lot in post-production editing, that kind of stuff, where you talk about what kind of sounds is he making. You don't want to, yes, you want Jamie to think it's a bear, but you don't want to get to the point where you're misleading the audience that it's believable, that it's a guy who is, you know.
Yeah.
Out there and really has gone slightly crazy, because as you said, he's been basically excommunicated from his his tribe and is really struggling to
without the human contact. He's just sort of you know, he killed a bear and basically took on the persona and became living like an animal. He became an animal, and this bear dance that the natives are doing is authentic as well, and part of our research that they actually have a bear dance.
Which I think the inner cutting of this is super effective.
Yeah, the editing is really nice in this sequence, and we worked a lot in post to get it right.
We talked about Carrot the Frenchie playing the bear, but she's not big enough nor ferocious enough.
Yeah, we talked a lot about when to make the reveal that it was a man instead of a bear. And we purposefully juxtaposed it with Claire's discovery as she works on John Quincy Myers and his wounds. That as a doctor, she's trying to save his life, but then on his neck, she sees what is clearly a human bite mark, and her saying, wait a minute, this is a bear, and this isn't a bear, and then juxtaposing that with the reveal that it's a man.
We also talked a lot about this idea that obviously you don't want it to look like, you know, if this excommunicated member of this tribe is a problem for the tribe, why didn't they do something about it? And certainly don't want to make it look like only Jamie could have solved this problem. But one of the things we talked about was the fact that, as you said, he didn't exist them anymore. He was invisible, so they would never have done anything to him. So it was less that they couldn't and more that, you know, Jamie not being a part of that tribe and feeling like this person was a danger to him and his family.
Their laws and sense of justice, for whatever reason, and that was their decision to make him dead to them by excommunication. So they would not have gone out and killed him, even though he was breaking into their, you know, he was coming into the village, stealing food, ransacking things. So the fact, you know, they were praying for a solution, and they could have easily killed him, obviously. But Jamie kills him and brings him as sort of this, Jamie doesn't know at this moment if they're going to, you know, kill him for killing who is essentially one of them. But it turns out to be that for them, I think they're very, you know, sad about this. I don't think they're happy about it because this was one of their brothers. But in their minds, he had committed a very serious crime, and they did not want him to be part of them anymore.
And also a shout out, as we did for costumes earlier, to art department, because once again, I think Gary Steele and his team did such an amazing job and so much research recreating, because the looks of this Cherokee village and the authenticity they put in the design is pretty spectacular. It's sad that we see some places like this only once. Obviously, we just explained exactly what he's explaining.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the man.
Another thing I'll mention here is just if people were wondering why we omitted it, but we did talk early on about whether in this episode we could have Jamie hurting his back in the snow cave and have Claire come to find him. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, in the book, when it's hundreds and hundreds of pages, things are spread out more. But when you're doing a condensed series, you know, we realize that snow cave would have come very right on the heels of Claire herself being lost and overnight being alone. And it just seemed very repetitive in that way. And it's one of the reasons sometimes we do have to omit things that it just, in a TV show that's much more condensed with only 13 episodes, you don't have the luxury of having a spread out book where things can happen later. So if anyone is missing the snow cave, that's why.
These are, I think, the first natives that Jamie and Claire have encountered this season.
It is in this episode. And obviously, Jamie's already picking up the Cherokee language because he's an expert in linguistics.
Yes.
And gets the moniker Bear Killer. Not a bad thing to have.
Young Ian is so cute in his embracing of the natives and their ways. He's very excited and enthusiastic about the new world. And
but this is also where we're starting to plant the young Ian's fascination with them. And, you know, young Ian more than anyone else has an excitement about being here.
Mm-hmm.
I always love this speech that we kind of took out of the book. This idea that she has a vision about Claire and her being a wise woman, a fellow wise woman.
Yeah, she recognizes Claire as this fellow healer and someone who's special and has these. They share the talents for healing.
Yeah, and I always love that line. Well, I don't love it, but I mean, I really appreciate that line where she says, death will come, but it won't be your fault. Which I just think
foreshadowing.
Yeah. But is also something as a healer or a doctor, I think,
yes,
you grapple with quite a bit. And obviously people recognize Tantu Cardinal from Dances with Wolves and many other fine productions.
She has a great face, and I love the way she's looking at Claire. She just has a gravity to her that...
She does a lot with very little.
Yes. An interesting thing is that many of the Native Americans actually spoke English during this time because many of them had fought in the French and Indian War. And our research showed that, you know, maybe a lot of people don't know this, but they did know a lot of English. And so...
Well, they traded.
And they traded. Yeah, they traded a lot with the settlers. And so they picked it up. And in that way, you know, we wanted to have some of Cherokee language, but it would have been a lot to put in per episode, depending on how much of it we had. So they were able to go back and forth, and that was a good.
This was another thing we changed slightly. We did bring up the fact that that Fiona acknowledges to Roger that she knew about the time travel, which of course she would with her grandmother.
Yeah, her Mrs. Graham was a caller at the Stones, and obviously Fiona grew up with the stories of time travel, and plus she was serving tea and scones, I believe, to last season when they were doing their research and looking for Jamie, and the walls are thin.
Yes, exactly.
In the former Wakefield home. I love Roger's reaction right there, by the way, because this his old house, and she's all, don't you like the new decorations? And he's like, it's very, very, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love when
I love this little bit.
He's like, what?
Back in where time?
Well, this is another thing we can start talking about now since it's a longer discussion, but why we decided to smudge the date on the document.
Well, in the book, I believe it was when he does find the obituary, it's many years in the future. It's, I think it may even be 10 years away. And we really wanted to portray a sense of urgency so that Bree, when she...
It made no sense to us that she wouldn't take a little more time to prepare to go back if she knew she had 10 years, for instance.
Right. It had to be more imminent. And so by smudging the date, it was something that let us know that this could take place in only a few months or 10 years from now. And that there was an urgency to
Yeah, Yeah, because it's true. It's like, why didn't she put in more, you know, why wouldn't she have taken a little time?
But this is going to give Roger a big dilemma right here. Like, does he even tell her? Because he just gave her this beautiful news that her mom was alive and Jamian had 10,000 acres and lived in North Carolina. And now he learns that they die in a fire, whether it be, you know, a few months away or 10 years away, to hear that they're dead would be a big, you know, a big shock and sadness for Brianna, even though it's kind of crazy when you think about it, because as he says, they've been dead for over 200 years. They're actually dead in the past, but still you want to believe that your mom lived and lived happily for a long time.
I would have totally told her. I'm just saying, I do think Roger made a mistake here.
I don't think I would.
What?
Because I wouldn't want to... Why tell her? It wouldn't do... It doesn't do any good.
Looking ahead, we can't really talk about what looks ahead, but, you know, it could have stopped from what happened ahead. I would totally told her, I think...
I wouldn't want to hurt her.
I'm Team Brianna here.
I would want her to just imagine them happy. You know, it's, you know.
Yeah, better to know lies are never good, Tony.
He loves her. It's not a lie.
It's a lie of omission.
It's something that he stumbled upon, and is he obligated to tell her? She's not asking him, and he didn't go looking for this information. And I feel, especially because they're broken up, it might, I don't know. I just think to call someone and really just, tell them something that'll make them feel awful. I think I would carry the burden of that knowledge and feel sadness. I'd feel the sadness and absorb it myself rather than kind of telling them, because it may not be something she wants to know, you know?
I don't agree, but we'll have to agree to disagree.
But
these are, I mean, quite honestly, these are the kind of debates we have in the writer's room all the time.
Yeah. It's like, we always have people on each side of every issue and many spirited discussions in the writer's room and a very talented group.
Yeah. Look how lazy Rollo is. Just sitting around watching everyone else do work.
Yeah, they need to tie something to that dog and make him like haul logs around or something, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
From what I understand, the scene coming up with this scene where they're seeing the frame of the cabin for the first time was actually the coldest day in Outlander filming history.
It was. I was there, and every day is cold to me. But
every day is cold, but this was the coldest day. It was minus four,
I think, that day, and now minus six. I mean, thankfully, once again, it wasn't snowing. I know we talk about the weather all the time, and people are so sick of it, but... It makes a big deal when you're out there all day.
Yeah. Isn't it actually colder when there's no snow?
Yes, because it's all clear. Yeah. No, it wasn't. God bless Katrina and Sam for toughening out. Well, you know when even the Scots are cold that you're in trouble?
Yeah. They're not wearing their shirt sleeves.
It's amazing what
bragging to us about how, you know, we LA people can't take the cold. They're actually bundled up.
Which we can't, by the way. That's true. We are the biggest weenies of all time.
See, if it got that cold for me, I'd just be on the plane. I'd just go right to the airport, get on the plane, and be gone.
Fly to
Fiji. When I'm there in the summer, I'm frozen.
What is Roger going to do? Any second now, though, we're going to see the second appearance of the most important special guest in the entire show, Carrot.
Oh, right.
By the way, did all of these in a couple takes and did not get paid.
I think after this, with an audition reel from this show.
I mean, she's looking at the phone.
I think the offers are going to come pouring in for Carrot.
We might have been sitting behind the camera with a treat.
I think you stand to make a cool 10% off of her future jobs.
I wish anyone who needs Carrot in any future episodes of your show.
She's available.
She's for rent.
Also in the book, Roger finds out that Brianna has left because she sends him a box of her things after she packs up her apartment. We chose not to do that because we did this a little differently. They're really more broken up.
But and also,
she wouldn't send a box of her stuff to her ex-boyfriend.
The other reason is I think we felt that if she didn't want, we debated so much, it's like if she didn't want Roger to know she'd gone back, why would she send him her stuff? We just couldn't get around that question. They were broken up. It was a little slightly different.
It would have been kind of mean to be like, can't tell you where I am, but here's all my stuff. Can you hang on to it for me?
It would just be suspicious. I mean, she didn't expect, obviously, that he would call.
No, and the look on his face when he hears she went to visit her mom. You know, I think he has a little idea where she might be.
Where could she be? Anyway, thank you guys. Thank you, Tony, for having me as
I'm
a special guest
star. I'm glad you were here, Meryl, and thank you, Carrot. We'll say goodbye to everyone, and we'll see you. See you next week, and see where all this stuff goes. Thanks, guys.
Signing off.
Bye. Cheers.